College football in the news, college athletics in the news. It looks like they are going to get some clearance to at least work out in the offseason starting in June. The Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, kind enough to join us now to talk about that and more on the Truist Newsmaker line. Larry, thanks for coming on. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
3,000 miles away from SEC and ACC country, we are curious. What's going on, California and the other states that actually make up the Pac-12?
Yeah, well, we look, every state is a little different, and every county is a little different. Seems like you know, decisions about restarting, reopening have very much been delegated to states and beyond that to public health officials. So it's not one size fits all. Even within our conference, let alone across the country. But, you know, in our states, there are definite moves to restarting, reopening, including what that means for sports. Most of our states have a four-stage restart, reopen plan, allowing sports to start happening again, competition to start happening again is, you know, usually in stage three of the four-stage plans, and then allowing fans back in our stadium arena is usually in stage four, the last stage of these plans, along with mass gatherings like concerts and festivals and conventions and what have you. When the states move to stage two, stage three, stage four, you know, that's a work in progress. And I think you know, the data, the science, and the experience of gradually opening up, I think, is going to dictate that. The governor of California, who has certainly, you know, been on one end of the spectrum in terms of, you know, an early mover to shelter in place, which seems to have, you know, had a positive effect on a flattened curve in California, at least, said the other day that he anticipates, if the trajectory continues as it is, that pro sports is going to start happening again in June, which was probably the most optimistic thing we've heard coming from the state of California. And, you know, states in Washington, Oregon will probably move similarly. Utah, Colorado, Arizona, or other states, Nevada, where we've got important championships, will all, you know, probably even move a little bit sooner. So I think things are tracking pretty well here, but we're, you know, very cautious. We realize things can change. And, you know, we're going to be guided by public health officials in terms of what we do, but we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready for college football to start on time. We're going to be ready for there to be a full season. I think the medical protocols will be in place. We're able to learn a lot from our friends in the pro leagues that have developed protocols. And I'm on at least one call every day, oftentimes two or three, with my peers in the ACC, SEC, Big 12, and Big 10. There's very close coordination going on nationally because we're all reliant on each other if we're going to play a full college football season.
Larry Scott is with us, the Pac-12 commissioner. We'll ask you, because we've had this conversation, and certainly you've been asked this question before, can you see a day where the Power Five breaks away?
It's not something we've thought about, especially, you know, at the moment where everyone's got their hands full. You know, thinking about student athletes and the impact this pandemic's having on everyone. Also, you know, I think it's been less of a conversation lately because there was a very significant move made a few years ago to give more autonomy to the Power Five conferences. There are certain aspects of NCAA policy regarding benefits we can provide to student athletes and other related issues where the five of us that tend to have more resources than other schools can decide to be more generous and more supportive of student athletes without everyone across Division I college sports having to agree.
Larry, we've talked about it a lot, and we're going to be very honest. We know there's a $51 million check, I believe, at the Big Ten that they hand out. I think the SEC is more than $40 million plus. We don't necessarily understand how the Pac-12 makes their money, and I'm not looking to jump into your pocket. You can give me all the details. But if you are a lesser Power Five, how do you try to bridge the gap? How are you trying to bring? I mean, I heard a few years ago you guys were talking about bringing in outside investors, private equity firms. Is that the state of the Pac-12? Because that's the perception we have here, is that there are certain neighborhoods, and you're not living in a neighborhood with maybe some of the other conferences.
Yeah, you know, I think everything's relative. I think all the Power Fives are kind of in a certain territory. An altitude in terms of revenues, but you know, I think what gets missed in that discussion is several things. First, within leagues, there's wide variations in terms of what individual schools generate. There's a lot of focus because it's easy to track what the SEC distributes versus the Pac-12, and there's a gap there for sure. I mean, the SEC and the Big Ten in particular have a more significant television deals currently than the ACC, Pac-12, and Big 12, which all, you know, we're in a bit of a cluster at the moment. There's not much difference at all in terms of what the ACC, Pac-12, and Big 12 are distributing. But what gets missed in the conversation is what we distribute to our members is only about a third of their overall athletics department revenue. What schools generate from football ticket sales revenue and related donations and local sponsorship makes up the bulk of their income. So I always chuckle a little bit when people focus on the scorecard being what gets distributed by the conferences as a determining factor in competitiveness, because it's actually the smallest part of the revenues that the schools live off of. You know, you could look at the leagues in your backyard, the SEC and the ACC, and at the top of those leagues, they may have double the income of the schools that are the smallest.
Right. So,
but if you think of, about that, I think it helps put in a better perspective.
But I readily admit we're 3,000 miles away. I have said, or I've gotten the sense, that it's almost like life support, it seems. If you don't get teams into the college football playoff, if your football teams aren't as relevant, basketball is not the generator that football is. We know that, but I think sometimes we do dismiss that when it comes to the NCAA tournament. My perception has been that relative to the Power 5 world, the Pac-12 was in trouble.
Yeah, that's not how Pac-12 schools feel. We've got schools at the top of our league with more revenue than schools at the bottom of the SEC and ACC, as an example. We got several schools well over $100 million in athletics department revenue. Not one of my schools feels like revenue is holding them back in terms of their performance in football.
Is there
which is the highest priority, of course, because it's the biggest revenue generator. And our schools support a lot of different sports. If they were that concerned about it, they'd reduce the number of sports they have to support. They'd economize in different areas. You know, it's a mission-based initiative, but we've discussed this readily. And as you mentioned, we've thought about, do we need to redo our TV deals earlier, bring in an outside investor? And our campuses have decided, no, we don't need to do that. We think we're really, really well positioned for when our TV rights come up in 2024, like we did in 2012. We'll probably leapfrog, and whatever gap there is now is going to get significantly narrowed. Some of this is timing, but I think the perception that you referenced, I realize, is a real perception, but I think it's exaggerated compared to how our schools in the region feel.
What about discussions about it?
By the way, we're talking with Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, on the Truist Newsmaker line.
Can I expansion? Is that something that makes sense? I'm sure you must talk about it. I don't know how deep the conversations go. And then the other part is there a nervousness about, and when was the last time maybe a school thought about, well, this might not be working for me anymore, I might want to go over here? How often are those discussions in play?
We expanded in 2011. When we were the Pac-10, we added Colorado and Utah. That has worked out great. They've been terrific fits. Academically, brought us into territories we weren't in before, added to our footprint, our competitiveness in different ways. But there really hasn't been any interest since then in discussing it. And, until our television deals are closer to coming up, it's not something that's gotten any discussion. I don't anticipate it will. Now, when your television deals come up, you have a chance to think about a lot of different things in terms of how you might want to reposition, put yourself in the best situation going forward when you're going to market. So I anticipate it'll get some conversation closer to 24 when our TV rights come up.
Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, with us on the Truist Newsmaker line. As far as the Pac-12 network distribution, we've talked about that as well. The perception is, as Chris said, from 3,000 miles away, you want to get it into more homes. How do you do that?
The market is changing very, very rapidly in that space. I'm sure you all see it and read about it all the time. More and more people are cutting the cord and are no longer subscribing to satellite TV and cable TV and the streaming services are becoming more popular, cheaper, more nimble. But we are currently locked into distribution deals with most all cable and satellite providers, except a few that we don't have, through 24. So there's not much that is going to change between now and 24. These agreements tend to be pretty restrictive and limit your ability to just distribute your content through a new form of distribution like streaming.
Larry?
But in 24, one of the reasons we have not gone long-term with any deal is we want to keep our flexibility because the world is changing before us and we're going to be able to adapt and distribute our content in much different ways in the future than we are now, I believe.
Yeah, by the way, that's Apple, that's Netflix, and that's everybody else, Google and everybody else online, YouTube.
All in our backyard.
Yeah, who have
all alumni of our school.
You're right. So let me – you live in a public eye. I know your name. Sports fans know your name. And there are times when your name is on press release, hey, Larry Scott, commissioner of the Pac-12. How fair or unfair do you think it was when people talked about where you stayed in Las Vegas during the tournament? Because I know here it was a story. Oh, the commissioner's in a penthouse. And I'm assuming you're thick-skinned enough to just go, well, whatever, if people don't know the whole story. But when guys like us or markets that are further away look at that and go, well, that doesn't seem to make any sense. How were you able to handle that? I know you're a grown-ass man and you took the job knowing that there were going to be moments like this. But what do you actually say to stuff like that? Or does it not bother you?
Of course it bothers me. I mean, I think if you're human, you don't like seeing, you know, yourself, either people, you know, attaching blame to decisions that you think you know are made on behalf of all your members with consultation, or being ridiculed for something that you did that you think is blown out of proportion. So, of course, it's bothersome. And I think if you ever lose that sense of humanity and feeling, you've probably been doing it too long on the one hand. On the other hand, yeah, I've been commissioner in this league for 10 years. Prior to that, I was commissioner in pro tennis for about 10 years as a commissioner and deputy commissioner there. So I have been in roles like this where, you know, sometimes you get more credit than you deserve when things go well. You know, when our teams win, it's usually not because I was calling great plays, but you know, people think you're doing a great job as commissioner if your teams are doing well. And so you sometimes get some credit you probably don't deserve. And then certainly there are times where you feel like you're getting some blame. So on the one hand, if you stop being bothered by it, I think you've probably been doing it too long. And, of course, it's bothersome. By the same token, it absolutely goes with the territory. And no one's shedding any crocodile tears for you either in these roles. You know, it goes with the territory. So I think it's just the nature of it, and part of it is, you know, you're in this role to also be that focal point and be a shield for your universities that you know are involved in making all the big decisions with you.
Larry Scott, finishing up with the Pac-12 commissioner on the Truist Newsmaker line. I would imagine, obviously, everybody wants to play a full season, but in this unknown time we're living in, nothing's off the table. A conference schedule, only a conference schedule, playing in front of empty stadiums, even though people could be on campus. I mean, I guess everything's being kicked around right now.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have a good measure of control over the decision about whether we're playing college football or not. I don't think we're going to have that much control over the decision as to whether there's fans or not. I think those are two different things that sometimes get conflated. On the decision about whether we're going to play the season, myself and my colleagues across the country are laser-focused on being prepared to start on time and play a full season, and we all have to move together if that's going to happen. The season starts, as you know, with non-conference games. We've got USC playing Alabama in Dallas early in this season. We've got Colorado coming to Texas A&M. We've got Michigan coming to Washington, Ohio State coming to Oregon. We all have to agree that we're comfortable starting the season on time, playing a full season. But, of course, we've made a lot of progress on plan B, C, and D, and if we can't start on time or can't play non-conference play, we'll be ready with conference-only models, delayed starts, other forms of abbreviated seasons. But at the moment, I've got reason to be optimistic that we got a good chance to start on time. But I do, even though we'll move together, I expect in terms of how the college football season works, I do expect it to be a patchwork around the country in terms of what the policies are. Wouldn't surprise me if at the beginning of the season we've got some parts of the country where there's no restrictions on fans and you've got football stadia that are pretty full. We might have other parts of the country where no fans are allowed at all, and then I imagine we'll have all kinds of flavors in between with some fans socially distanced on a kind of walk, jog, run phased approach to gradually letting more and more fans in as things keep going well. So I think this is going to be a very strange year in football where I think it'll be all over the map on the fan issue, but I'm hopeful that college football is going to be able to move forward together
Larry,
on time in a full season.
You have to run, we have to run, but if you can get quick answers, and it might not be fair, but I am going to ask, is there any school in the Pac-12, if they say we're not going to have students on campus, what will happen? Will they be allowed to play college football?
That's a decision of our schools, but at the moment, all of our schools are working on plans and hoping to be not only be open, most have indicated they're going to be open, and they are going to have students on campus.
Is there a chance, whether it's advertisements, patches, fields, games being sold individually, will there be a makeup of some of this lost revenue or possible lost revenue? Are you in favor of finding those types of avenues?
Yeah, I think this is a time where you test all assumptions. You think outside the box. I think there is going to be some very significant negative financial hardship as a result of the pandemic, even if we play a full football season. So, yes, we're talking to our members all the time about ways we can cut costs, we can mitigate expenses, maybe open up some revenue streams, but those are early discussions.
All right, Larry, listen, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the honesty, the transparency. Hopefully we could talk about actual games in the not-too-distant future if you join us again.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. Larry Scott, Pac-12 Commissioner on the Truist Newsmaker line.